Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And that's the completion of the question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation as Jesus Christ has wrought? Now, this is going back to the first verse of the first chapter. God has spoken in times past by the prophets, and now he has spoken to his Son. So we should give greater attention to what the Son has said than what the prophets have said. We should give greater attention to what his apostles have said. Because it began to be spoken by the Lord, and it was finished by them, because after his death, the Lord did not speak except by his apostles. So what we understand in Christianity is what his apostles taught after his departing. Some people don't like the apostles, some people but there's no real disagreement. You know, some people say, there's agreement in righteousness. There's agreement in everything. But there's a continuation of doctrines. A lot of what Jesus was doing was still under the old covenant. I mean, there are things Jesus did that I'll never do. I'm not going to do, wear garments of only one type of fabric, as far as I know, because I don't know that that's required of me. I don't have to abide by the food restrictions he abided by. So the apostles had to finish the work. Some people, he gives as testimony to the word of God, the miracles. Many people doubt the miracles. I've heard it said to me, people think that people in those times were not very intelligent. But I can tell you they could be just as skeptical as any person living in this time. In fact, many people were skeptical of Christ. I mean, and also there were those who believed his miracles, but they believed that there was some devilry involved, because he did not agree with their ideas. And that's actually more natural than you might realize. Because it's sort of like at the end times, there are going to be people coming forth doing miracles. And it's going to be in the name of the Lord, but it's going to be for evil. Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out devils? In the book of Revelation, you see them calling down fire from heaven. And yet, it is not the Lord's work. And those who resist them will know it, because their doctrine is different. So it's a natural thing for someone to reject it based on that. God has to enlighten our eyes to the truth, or we will be blinded by the truth we already think we know. So we need to give more heed to the salvation. Now, what about us? I haven't really seen miracles in my life. I mean, nothing of the caliber that Jesus did. Circumstances working out for my good, well, I thank God for it. I don't consider that a miracle. I know the hand of the Lord is in it, but it's not a miracle. A miracle is when a guy who has never walked since his birth, or he's paralyzed, or someone with spina bifida straightens up and walks like a normal man. That is a miracle. You need a car and you pray for a car and some friend offers you a car at a reasonable price you can afford, or for free even. It's not a miracle. The Lord's hand is in it, but it's not a miracle. Okay. Because that could happen without the Lord's hand being in it. The Lord is in control of everything. But still. What do I base my faith on if not miracles? Because miracles definitely help. Right? I mean, that can help you along in your faith. Seeing miracles. It helped Peter when they brought in the draught of fishes. He was ashamed at his doubt. Right? And he says here, gifts of the Holy Ghost. You know, when I got the Holy Ghost, it was definitely something to me that attested to the truth that is in Christ. It was definitely something that I could lay on and look to as a building block in my faith. When it happened to me, I received like power over sins, and a literal power came over me. But the thing about that is it really is only persuasive to me. It's not persuasive to other people. I could tell people about it, and they could, maybe some people will believe me and they'll rejoice, and other people will kind of scratch their heads, and some people will think I'm nuts. And it's really not effectual on people who are having problems with faith. You know, I get the Holy Ghost, it only causes people who believe in such things to rejoice. But people who don't believe in such things, that's just another story. I know, and I'm speaking from experience, because that's how I looked at it before it happened to me. I believe the people that told such stories were sincere. But I thought there was some explanation. Some natural explanation. But, just as I am able to tell the difference between a genuine experience and emotional and psychosomatic responses, which I definitely can tell the difference between, or at least I believe I can. And at that point, when you begin to doubt that much, it's sort of like, you know, where you're determined not to believe, you know. So I believe, based on, I think, what are very good reasons in this regard. There's a lot of persuasive reasons for me in the scriptures. But there's also external reasons, things that happen in our lives, right? So the word spoken by the Lord is as steadfast as the things by angels. Transgressions and disobedience receive a reward. How are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation?